Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Here's a little song I wrote. You might want to sing it note for note. Don't worry, be happy. That's a pretty well-known line from a very famous song that we've all probably heard before. But if you aren't familiar with it, perhaps this song sung by a warthog named Pumbaa and a meerkat named Timon might be more familiar with you, to you. And it goes like this, Hakuna Matata, what a wonderful phrase. Hakuna Matata ain't no passing craze. It means no worries for the rest of your days. Was that song maybe a little more familiar with you? The messages of these songs are nice, but they're not exactly easier. They're certainly easier said than done. Someone can tell you, don't worry, be happy. But does that actually help? Does it actually get rid of your worry and your stress and the problems that you are facing? Does it make things all better? No, of course not, right? If the Apostle Paul were alive today, how would he rewrite these songs on worry? What would he say? What would it sound like? As we finish our time in Philippians this morning, we see that Paul gives us an answer in our text. In our text, we see his song on worry, one can say. As human beings, worry can be a very natural and normal thing for us. And a recent study on worry has yielded some very interesting statistics about the very things that we worry about. The survey said about 45% of the things that we worry about will never happen. 45% of the things that we worry about don't end up coming true. That's roughly half of the things that we worry about. Is that true in your life? As I reflected on that, I saw it was true in mine. We might worry about what someone might say or do to us. We might worry about a chain of misfortune or of scenarios that might not ever come true. Consider the worry of a high school student, for example. Tim is entering his last year of high school, and he's worried that if he doesn't get good grades, then he won't be able to get into college. If he doesn't get into college, he won't get a high-paying job. And if he doesn't have a high-paying job, he'll have to get a second job. If he gets a second job, he'll have no social life. If he has no social life, he'll never meet someone. If he never meets someone, he'll never get married. If he doesn't get married, he won't have a family. And if he doesn't have a family, he'll be all alone. Sometimes as we worry, it can just kind of spin and cycle all out of control. We can worry about what might never happen. But worrying about the future is not the only thing we do. Interestingly, we worry about the past, about what's behind us. 35% of the things that we worry about have already happened. They're in the past. We might worry about what we said or didn't say in a conversation. We might worry about what we did or didn't do at work. We might worry about a relationship or a friendship. And we might even beat ourselves up about what we've done or wrestle with regret. Coulda, shoulda, woulda are the words here. We can worry about the past. But we can also worry about what is outside of our control. About 12% of the things we worry about, we can do nothing about. This can be issues like politics, government, environmental things, or weather. Things like the California forest fires, the Las Vegas shooting massacre, and even the North Korea situation all fit in this category. These are things we have no control over, and we can worry about things that are just outside of our control. So if you're doing the math, that equals 92 at this point, and the study concluded that only 8% of what we worry about is actually legitimate. Worry doesn't help our situation. It doesn't change the future, and it can't change the past. Worry is like sitting in a rocking chair. You can use your energy to go forward and back, but it doesn't get you anywhere. Worrying does nothing. We need to hear Paul's song on worry, don't we? So the apostle sings in verse 6, don't be anxious about anything. Well, that's easy for you to say, Paul, we might think. He's not in our circumstances. He's not living in 2017 with our various problems and issues that are unique to our day and time. What does Paul know about worry, we might say? But in fact, Paul knows a lot about worry. As he's writing this verse, the poor guy is sitting in jail on house arrest in Rome. He's going to be brought before the emperor to have an opportunity to preach to him, to tell him who is the true God. But this guy thinks he is God. How challenging would it be to preach to someone like that? And if the trial doesn't go well, it could mean the end of his life and could be disastrous for the Christian church. He's also hearing about the Philippian congregation's problems. In chapter 4, he talks about how two women named Euodia and Syntyche are fighting and are threatening the church's unity. In chapter 3, he wrote about the various heresies and problems that have been arising there. As Paul writes this verse, his life is anything but stress-free. He has many things to be anxious about and to worry about. How is it that he says, don't be anxious about anything? He can say that because of prayer. His song continues, don't be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. It's in times of angst, apprehension, and anxiety that the apostle points us to prayer. In prayer, we bring our requests and our problems to God and put those things in His hands. Our Heavenly Father knows our needs, but He invites us to bring those needs to Him. And as we're invited to bring Him those needs, we're invited to be specific as well. Supplications are specific requests. Let your Lord know the exact problem. You can be specific about it. He listens. He cares. He's there for us. And Paul says, do this in everything. He says we can go to Him at all times, in all places, for all things. Nothing's left out. Whatever the issue is, bring it to the Lord. Tell Him. Whether it's something small like, help me fall asleep, or help me deal with the frustration of sitting in 35E during rush hour. Or maybe it's something big like, help me get over the grief I'm experiencing over the loss of a loved one, or how I'm dealing with an estranged child, or Lord, help me with this disease I have. Tell Him in prayer. Someone once said this beautiful phrase. It goes like this. There's nothing too great for God's power. There's nothing too small for His fatherly care. And how true is that in our lives? Nothing's impossible for our God. In prayer, we go to the One who can do something about those problems and issues that might keep us up at night or that turn our stomachs inside out with stress. In prayer, we go to the One who can help, and we set that in His hands. Are there any hands more capable than His? Is there anyone in your life who loves you more or cares for you more than Him? Is there someone in your life who is willing to do what is for your good like our God? No one. And this Lord loves and cares for us as well. And this is seen in Jesus who took on human flesh for us and died in our place. If God took care of the biggest problem in our life, sin and our separation from Him, won't He help us with the smaller ones in our lives too? Won't He be willing to be with us in those smaller things if He took care of the biggest thing in our lives? Of course He will. Prayer directs our sight and gaze to the One who loves, cares, and saves us. But the apostle's not just done yet on this point with prayer. He says that thanksgiving should accompany our prayers as well. In Christ, we always have something to be thankful for. God has given us our bodies, our homes, our family, our friends, and everything that we need to support our bodies and our lives, both physically and spiritually as well. Giving thanks to Him takes our attention and it shifts it and focuses it on God's concrete, specific acts for us that He's done for us. Thanking God helps us to see His goodness and care in our lives in specific ways. What is one thing that you can thank Him for in your life? Thanksgiving also encourages us to trust in Him and His will. As I've studied the Psalms in our Thursday group, and as I've seen some of the Psalms of David as we've gone through our 1 Samuel Bible study, what amazed me the most about King David was the way that he would pray. In some of the Psalms, he would thank God for saving him, but the interesting point would be is that he wouldn't be delivered yet from his enemies. His trust in God was that great that he could thank Him before it happened. Thanking Him encourages us to trust in Him, and it gives us confidence in our God as well. Giving thanks helps us to see what God has done for us in Christ Jesus in the past, what He's done for us right now, and what He will do for us in Christ in the future, and that is save us at the last day and give us the new heaven and the new earth to enjoy. Just like in our world, don't forget to say thanks, right? And as Paul's song goes on, he points us to peace. The apostle says, "And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." Peace. Corrie ten Boom was a Christian woman who lived in the Netherlands during World War II, and her and her family would help to protect a bunch of the Jewish refugees and people who would be fleeing for their lives. They would give them food, protection, and shelter. And they did this for years until they were ratted out in the year 1944. They were arrested for those acts that they had done, and they were separated and sent to various concentration camps throughout Europe. She wrote about that time of her life and called it one of the most depressing and darkest times of her life. But while she was in those camps, she would encourage others around her with these words: "Look around and be distressed. Look within and be depressed. Look to Jesus and be at rest." In her situation in those camps, she looked to her Lord and to the peace that He brings. Paul says that this peace will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. The word that Paul uses here for guard is a military word, which means to stand guard or to stand watch. This would have been a familiar word to the Philippians because their city was made up of ex-Roman soldiers. The empire would settle ex-Roman soldiers there to settle there and to reward them for their service. Paul says that God's saving peace, that He has brought the world through His Son's death and resurrection, will stand guard for us like a Roman soldier, guarding our hearts and our minds in Jesus Christ. Just kind of picture that image for a second. God's peace is like a big, buff Roman soldier in His armor, with His shield, with His weapon, guarding our hearts and minds in Jesus. God's peace will guard us, for we are kept in Christ, who is our peace. We have been forgiven and made right with God. There is anything but peaceful death. Our circumstances and worries cannot change this. This peace, this right relationship with God, is not based on what our mind or heart thinks or what's going on. Rather, it's based on what Christ has done for us through His saving death and resurrection. The peace that God gives us helps us to dispel anxiety, and it helps to sustain and comfort us as we go through these times of worry and trouble. The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Jesus. That's a promise. That's something you can count on. As we leave our service today, and as we go back into the world, we're going to encounter problems and worries and stress. And as you do, I hope a song pops into your head. Not Don't Worry, Be Happy, or Hakuna Matata, even though it's a catchy song. But rather, I hope this song sticks in your heart and sticks in your mind. Don't be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer, with supplication and thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen. And let's end with a blessing. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in and with Christ Jesus. Amen.